What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Pro Football Draft Junkie Podcast. We are back, and as promised, we got three shows I'm recording tonight. I went ahead and thought I'd start with the NFL Combine snub. We are finally getting some content ready to go. The Fantasy Matriculator couldn't be here with me tonight, but I'm going to be able to knock these shows out. We're finally getting into draft season. It's getting nice and exciting. And this show was an idea I had last year. It seemed pretty cool, so I wanted to run with it this year. We, of course, had the invites to the NFL Combine just handed out, so I'm going to go over a quick show, five guys that I felt like got the snub and should have been invited to Indianapolis to go work out. So let's look at it like this. There's 332 invites handed out for the Combine. That was this year, at least. There's going to be 253 picks this year. So out of 253 picks, they're inviting 332 guys. It's about 80 extra than they even have picks for. So the guys I picked may not be names you've heard of, but these are names that I feel could contribute and come, you know, make an NFL team. And I went back and looked to see how I did on last year's list. And I had, you know, a few of them did pretty good. My big hit was the first name I'm going to lead off with, and that was Shaq Mason. So think about it. 253 picks in the draft this year, 332 invites, so it's roughly the same ratio every year. I don't know if they're saying that you're not draftable, I guess, if you don't get a combine invite, but they're basically saying if you don't get a combine invite that they've seen enough. I mean, it doesn't make sense for certain some players. If it's 80 extra, they have 80 extra invitations than they do draft picks. So some of these players, you know, got to feel, you know, like they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. And the first one I had last year was Shaq Mason. That's the one I nailed, and I think a lot of people did. The guard out of Georgia Tech. This is just a quick recap of last year. Guard out of Georgia Tech, he ended up being a fourth-round pick by the Patriots, and he's their starting left guard right now. Other player was DeShazer Everett, cornerback out of Texas A&M. He went undrafted, signed with the Buccaneers. He's currently on the Redskins' active roster. Next player I went with was Taylor Heinicke, the quarterback out of Old Dominion. He's currently the third-string quarterback for the Vikings after going undrafted. I had Deontay Greenberry, wide receiver out of Houston, who went undrafted. He played for the Cowboys and the Seahawks practice squads last year, and he's currently a free agent. And then the last guy I went with last year was James Vaughters, outside linebacker out of Stanford, who went undrafted, signed with the Packers, currently with the Patriots on a futures contract. So out of last year, the five snubs that I picked from the NFL Combine, four out of five are on an active NFL roster. And like I said, if there's 330 invites roughly and roughly 250 picks, I think that's pretty good that I went four out of five on guys that didn't even get an invitation. And one of them ended up being the starting left guard for the Patriots already in Shaq Mason. So let's see if I can catch some of that this year with the list. And starting out on the five that I feel like got snubbed from the NFL Combine this year, I'll start off with the gentleman by the name of Aaron Green, running back out of Texas Christian. And when I watch this tape, I see a guy who's shifty. He's got pretty good vision. He's a running back that some of the new NFL teams are kind of looking for it. He can line up in the slot, which is becoming very, you know, kind of that H-back role, even though he's a regular running back. The knock on him is that he's 5'11", 200 pounds, which is a good build, but he looks like he needs to add more to the frame, and he looks like he's already maxed out. But when I watch his tape, you know, I see some good things. And think about it, on this show, these five guys, we're talking about guys that the NFL doesn't even believe should be drafted. And a guy like Aaron Green, I see a player who could definitely come in and contribute to an NFL team. I don't see a three-down back, but look what we have going on in the NFL now. Most teams have switched to a two-back, at least a two-back rotation. Most teams use three or four in a game. I definitely think Aaron Green could be the type of player who can come in, be a third down back, be a little scat back, do any of that. Because when I watch this tape, I see a guy, like I said, he's got good vision. He's quick. He one of his problems is that his vision is not always, you know, I didn't think he had great vision. But again, we're talking about guys that aren't considered top prospects, just guys that can come and contribute to a football team. And I think Aaron Green could be someone who can come in and do that. He played for Texas Christian, who, I mean, is always a good team. He was their go-to back. Oh, I remember the one knock I had him. Like, his biggest knock is that he doesn't run inside much. But if he goes to the NFL and goes to the right scheme where they have a feature back to run on the outside, they could design some plays for a guy that's very shifty and get to the outside. And I think he can make an impact. I anticipate him being a fifth to seventh round pick and at least making a team. I do see that. Maybe the next name on my list is maybe my favorite guy on this list. His name is Jatavis Brown. He's a linebacker from Akron University, which is, of course, Ohio. And the knock on him, most of these guys have a reason, you know, and most of most of it's going to be size for why these guys didn't get invited. So he's an outside linebacker, can play inside too. He's 5'11", 221 pounds. That is far from what the NFL scouts are looking for, especially an outside linebacker when they're looking for about 6'1", 250 with speed. That is the thing Jatavis Brown has, though. He's very quick off the ball. When I watch some tape of him in Akron, he can line up almost anywhere on the defense except for like the 1-3 technique defensive tackle. He can line almost anywhere, and he was making plays in the game. He's got very good closing speed, shows very good quickness, good ball awareness. He shows everything I'm looking for in a player. Honestly, if he was like 3 inches taller, 50 pounds, not 50, but like 30 pounds heavier, could be a first-round pick. He's someone I may look at who can come in and maybe, if he does add weight and keep the speed, he can come in and definitely go to a team and be an outside linebacker and make an impact. I mean, I was looking at his stats. He had very good senior year stats. He had 19.5 tackles for loss, 11.5 sacks. You combine that, that's a number that we like to do on the show. That's 31. That's insane. That's a great number for a guy who's being undervalued because he's 5'11", 221. You still see a guy who can fly, and even if he can't crack an NFL starting defense, I still see the guy who could be a valuable special teams player going down the road. Definitely think he should have gotten a combine invitation. Next guy on the list, my friends will give me crap for, but I had to include him on here. Jacob Coker from Alabama. For you guys who have listened to the show for a while, you know that I graduated from Alabama. But I do feel like this one was warranted. There were some quarterbacks there were a few snubs, like Jake Rudock from Michigan, but the one that stood out to me, Jacob Coker, he's a national champion quarterback. He's got the size that NFL scouts love. He's 6'6", 230. But obviously, you look at the knock on him, he didn't always, look like what I always used to tell my friends, what I see in Jacob Coker. He's got it. He's got the physical attributes down for an NFL quarterback. He just needs to mentally get better, and I think he is. If you watch the end, the last six games in Alabama's season, he was getting better. You could tell he was getting better. There was in the national championship game against Clemson, he made some fantastic throws when Bama needed him to. They were getting tested by Clemson the entire game. I think he could definitely improve with the correct coaching. Definitely make an NFL roster. I'm surprised he doesn't have an invite to Indianapolis to at least show off what he can do, especially given that he got better at the end of the season. His numbers, he ended up with the ratio, close to the ratio that I like. He ended up with 21 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, so it was almost a 3-1 ratio, which is what I look for in my quarterback. And he had a better average than many of the quarterbacks that are being considered in the first round. I know percentages can depend on the offense, but Coker did throw downfield a good bit, and he had a 66.9 average. That's better than Carson Wentz, better than Jared Goff, better than Paxton Lynch. All three of those guys are going in the first round this year. I'm not saying he's better. It's about perspective here. We're talking about guys that I haven't even been invited to Indianapolis, so I think Coker definitely deserved an invitation. Definite snub to me. I see him, at the very least holding a clipboard in the NFL. So I definitely see that. Another guy I really like, the small school, we're going to go small school now. Going to go wide receiver position. His name is Paul McRoberts out of Southeastern Missouri State. This is a kid that there's not too much tape on, but the little bit I've seen, a lot of times if you can tell when you're seeing NFL talent, when you're watching a small school. I think they're not even that small. I think Southeast Missouri State only plays, and I think they play at the FCS level, if I'm not mistaken, which is only one level below FBS. But even sometimes at that level, you see a guy on tape even before you see a play, and you look at his frame, and you're like, okay, I can see this guy definitely. He looks like a next level player. And Paul McRoberts, his frame, I believe he's 6, I don't have the number for him right in front of me, I believe he's 6'2", 200 pounds, so he's got a pretty good frame for the NFL. Something I noticed about him and his tape, a good route runner, decent speed, not breakaway speed that I noticed, which he would have been able to showcase at the combine if he had the chance. His hands looked like his best asset to me, though. He made about 3 SportsCenter top 10 catches in the one tape I watched, which was against Murray State. And I definitely think, with his route tree already looking pretty decent, going to a team, this is definitely a guy that should have gotten invited to Indianapolis to at least show off what he can do, especially when, he looks like his frame, a lot of things that we talk about, we brought it up with Aaron Green, you can look like, you know, you can look like you have room to add on your frame, but you can also look maxed out. McRoberts looks maxed out almost, but in a good way. He's a guy who looks really big. He's tough to bring down. And like I said, I don't have a lot of information on him, but based on the stats I saw, which, let me see if I have his stats written down. It definitely looks like, no, I wasn't able to find his stats, but I know they were good. I wasn't able to find him in time for the show tonight. But he, out of all the receivers I saw, because there were a few names I was looking at, like Dom Lewis was another potential guy. He's another guy that got snubbed before the, you know, for the show. I didn't want to pick two from the same position, but Dom Williams from Washington State has the numbers too. But the guy I liked was Paul McRoberts for the next level. I think a team may end up taking a fifth-round pick on him, maybe even a fourth-round pick if he, you know, and keep in mind for all these five players I'm naming, they have pro days. They have a they're going to have a chance to impress. You know, it's just they won't have the big stage with the NFL network coverage on them. I do think that Paul McRoberts, though, will make a team, probably fifth-round pick, maybe sixth-round, but he could go as high as a fourth-round pick if someone falls in love with him because he does look like he is NFL-ready to me. And I did think they got a lot of them right this year with the combine, except, you know, I didn't find it as easy to find names this year as I did last year. The last one I have, probably the name of the draft, me and the matriculator, my co-host, we always look for the best name in the NFL draft, and we may have found it with this year's, with this next gentleman. His first name is Silverberry. I'm going to try and say his last name. It's M-O-U-H-O-N. Silverberry, I'm going to say Muhan for now until I hear it different. A young gentleman by the name of Silverberry Muhan, defensive end out of Cincinnati. Again, the knock on him, probably the reason he wasn't invited to Indianapolis is because of his frame. He's listed as a defensive end, but he's also 6'4", 252. Ideally, you know, you want your ends to be a little bit bigger than that, maybe about 20 pounds bigger to play in the NFL. But I can also see him playing as a 3-4, you know, outside linebacker. And he will have the chance to show off his attributes, obviously, at his pro day. Cincinnati's a big school. Let me see what his numbers were while I go through my notebook. He had 7.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks in his senior year. Not great, but I look back all the way to his sophomore year, and he had 12.5 tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks. So this is definitely a guy that's produced at the Division I level. Like I said, I think the knock on him was his frame. That is something I believe that he can either put on some good weight, though, you know, get the muscle and get there, or maybe just learn the new position and play some outside linebacker and see if he can get drafted that way. Regardless, like I said, these are guys that didn't even get a chance to show off their skill set, and Silverberry is a gentleman that I've liked what I've seen out of and should definitely have been included out of 332 athletes. I'm not discrediting any of the other guys that got invitations, but in conclusion, these are the five guys I thought, you know, kind of got snubbed. I understand they can't all get invited, but these are guys that I thought should have definitely got an invite to Indianapolis for the show. Well, thank you guys for listening to this quick one. A new show that I'm going to start tonight. I figured it was an easier way to get the thoughts out there. I'm going to call it Weekly Draft Thoughts. I'm about to record that one when I'm done with this show, so I'll have that one ready for y'all tonight. I will also have my weekly mock draft ready. If you guys have any questions, as always, I always encourage feedback on the show. That's what makes us, you know, we're in our second year, and that's what's make us, you know, want to keep doing this is when we get feedback. We haven't gotten to meet any fans yet, but we've talked to plenty of draft junkies. It's been great for us. Find us at, I'm trying to find the Facebook page. Okay, the Facebook page is facebook.com/NFL Draft Junkie. And if you would like to send us an email, it is NFLDraftJunkie@gmail.com. We encourage all questions we can get. I have a few questions in the queue that I didn't forget about you guys. I think it was Rich and Andrew. I did not forget about y'all. That will be on my draft thought show. That was the idea I had because if you guys remember me from last year, I did divisional shows before free agency. But this year, because of free agency being a big thing, I'm going to save the divisional shows until after free agency is over because I will have a much better idea of what the teams need. So in lieu of that, I thought it would be a good idea to just do a weekly or twice a week, just NFL draft thoughts show, just thinking about it, you know, just random thoughts. It's not going to be too much order. I'm just going to talk about stuff instead of doing divisional shows when all it's going to do is change in a few weeks when free agents come. So let me know whatever other content you guys might be looking for, and we're going to continue to churn this out because we're getting closer to the big day. And we're going to have the combine in a few weeks to talk about. So keep it locked in. We got two more shows after this. We got the weekly mock draft, which is always a quick show. And then we got the NFL draft, you know, my first draft thought show. So that'll be the maiden voyage tonight. I'm going to see how long I go with that one. That'll probably be another 10-15 minute show. But as always, I appreciate y'all for listening. Just keep it locked into the Pro Football Draft Junkie podcast.